This is the Best of Rain, January 19th, 2019. As mentioned last time, for the next 4-plus months, we're going to dig up some of Hap's fave productions, going back to this one, Volume 1, Number 24, from 1987, during what was known then as the RP Report. This is part 2 of Hap's first interview with Carol Perry, WB2MGP, who was named that year, 1987, the Dayton Hamvention Ham of the Year.
Each autumn, over 1 million youngsters trudge back to public schools in New York City, 1,800 of those to Rocco Loring Intermediate School 72, and of those, 350 enroll in a class that will change many of their lives. The class is amateur radio. The teacher is Carol Perry, WB2MGP. A Staten Island, New York resident, Perry has been teaching full-time since 1981. A former vice president of Avant-Garde Devices Incorporated, she has been a radio amateur since 1975. Perry was recipient of the coveted Radio Amateur of the Year plaque awarded at the 1987 Dayton Hamvention in Dayton, Ohio. This is part two of this very special interview with this very special lady. What began as a two-month experiment in 1981 has now blossomed into a full-time program for Carol Perry. She begins this segment of the interview explaining just how she persuaded her school administration to give her amateur radio course a trial run.
Well, as anything else, especially through a bureaucracy, you sort of have to prove yourself as you go. And if you've got what it takes and the stamina to pursue it, and you've got something worthwhile, I believe, keep at it and you'll knock all the obstacles down. What happened was I only came in temporarily into the school system while my corporation relocated, and they offered me a part-time position as a substitute teacher for 2 months. There was a vacancy. And within that 2 months, they allowed me to teach any minor track that I chose. And I said, well, I do have this interesting hobby of ham radio. May I try it for the two-month period? And they said, okay, we'll let you go with that, but we'll monitor what you're doing. And at the end of the 2 months, the response from the community, from the parents, and from the kids was so overwhelming of people asking for the program to be repeated and put into the school at least as a club or a part-time activity that they then invited me to stay for another term and try the program part-time. And that was the last part-time offer. The next term around was full-time, and it's been that way ever since. And it's proving it each step of the way, showing them results, having the kids respond and having the parents respond, which only reinforces that the program is, in fact, so credible.
Is this a year-round type course?
It's divided into two terms, from September to January and then February through June. I see two different sets of kids in the course of a year.
Do you find that there are those times that you are working with a boy or girl who really is trying awfully hard but just can't seem to put it all together?
Oh, definitely. And I make it clear that it's such a diverse hobby and that they might have problems, if not with the code, then perhaps with the technical concept. The key to it is, once they're comfortable with me and they believe what I tell them, first of all, when I stress the studying and the concentration, and I tell them it's guaranteed money back, that if they do it my way, it will probably work, and I make sure I hit all the learning channels, auditory, visual, kinesthetic, I am bound to hit on the way that will work for each child. So once they feel comfortable enough to come back and say to me, no matter what I do, I can't seem to learn the code, Mrs. Perry, then I will sit down with that kid and as best I can try to determine where his learning channel is, if it's hearing it, if it's touching the key, if it's using flashcards, whatever it is that works for that kid. And sometimes just the individual attention from me is what takes them over the line to get them over whatever hurdle they think that they have. And if they're not that good at something, so what? Not everybody's good at everything, and nobody's born knowing the code. And the philosophy, again, is always have a good time with it, relax with it, and do the best you can. That's all that's required from them.
On the buddy system, do you generally match one-to-one, or sometimes do you actually have a group of maybe 4 or 5 kids who all work together?
What we do is, because of the large numbers of children that I have, it works better when they're sitting together in twos, and because they have the volume adjustment on their little oscillators, they're able to lower it and just practice concentrating on the person sitting opposite them, which is a good skill unto itself, concentration blocking other sounds out. So I found that it works more effectively with a group of 35 to have two together.
What type of disciplinary action do you use occasionally when someone gets out of line?
Well, when you say get out of line, again, I've never had a problem other than perhaps somebody horsing around with equipment, maybe. And what I would do in that case, the discipline would be to punish that child by not allowing him the use of the equipment for a given period of time. And then, of course, always allowing him the opportunity to get back into the good graces again, so to speak, and participate once again. And this time, think twice before throwing an oscillator across the room to somebody. The punishment, in other words, would be you mishandled the equipment. Now you may not use it for this period. And that child would be then asked to just sit and open up a book or sit quietly and not be part of what the rest of us are obviously enjoying doing.
You've been teaching this class for 6 years. How many years have you actually been teaching overall?
Well, my background is I began teaching 20 years ago. I taught for a couple of years, then went right into private industry, where I was for 12 years, and then just came back again. 6 years ago, when I came back in with this pilot program, I never intended to stay, and I just kept growing and growing with the program, and I looked up one day, and it was 6 years later, and that's really how I feel it happened. I remained in it, obviously, at a drastic financial difference, but I enjoy it so much, I can't even conceive of myself doing anything else.
Would you say that it is easier now to stimulate the kids to get their amateur radio license now that novices have phone privileges?
Oh, there is no question about it. Absolutely, because the main thing that all the kids look forward to the most are the handheld units. That's a kid item. And in fact, we've got so many of them on Staten Island now who have already been through the program that we're also considering, when I say we, I mean the clubs that I belong to, we're considering sponsoring a 220 repeater on the island where the kids, instead of talking to the old fogies like us, can be with themselves primarily on their own repeater.
More from Carol Perry in a moment. This is the RP Report.
You're listening to The Rain Report from www.therainreport.com.
Now our final segment with Carol Perry, WB2MGP, who teaches amateur radio full-time in the New York City public school system.
Tell me about the manual you've prepared for your students and which other school teachers can utilize.
As a result of 6 years in the classroom, I felt it was time, after getting responses from all over the country, from teachers asking the same question, how do you motivate, how do you keep the motivational level high? Very practical, down-to-earth questions that a teacher doesn't really have access to commercially in the amateur radio industry. So what I did was, instead of handwriting letters out to each of these people over and over again, giving sample lesson plans, I put the whole package together of 27 step-by-step lesson plans on everything that a teacher needs to know. A highly motivated teacher, even who is not a ham, would be able to teach the program from the teacher's manual. It's practical suggestions in a classroom, how many minutes to spend on each of the activities so that you keep the interest level high, homework assignments, suggested follow-up activities for the more gifted children, the more promising children, reproducible for the teacher to run off in the classroom. And included in the book are a list of resources that would be of interest to anybody starting out with the program, including fundraising ideas, which is something every school would have need of at some point, and a way to set up your beginning novice station in a classroom within the confines of administration problems and budget problems. So it's practical for a classroom. And with the book comes a custom-made code practice oscillator that I designed with an engineer, keeping in mind it's being handled by kids all day long. So it's very compact. It's self-contained in a lady's earring jewelry box with the exposed oscillator circuit and the power supply and speaker inside of it with the key and a volume control and a tone adjustment. And the kids love it. So what we suggest the teachers do is use it as a fundraiser, tack on 50 cents to the price of the oscillators, order them for the kids, and then you also get money into your program at the same time. And the kids take them everywhere with them. They take them in the lunchroom. They're all over the school with these little oscillators. They take them in their pocketbooks and their school bags, in the back of a car, at home, and it works. It's on a kid's motivational level, so we know that works. And we also have an audio cassette that's geared with a motivational space story for children that follows the lesson plans and lets the kids go through a series of telegraphy. The way I teach random order of code, the cassette follows it so that the kids can practice along with the cassette as well as practice on the oscillators. So the package includes the teacher's manual, a hotline access to me for technical or curriculum assistance, an audio cassette, and the code practice oscillator. And this is now being made available throughout the country.
Why don't you give me the address and any other pertinent information that would be useful to
her? Oh, okay, very good. Yes, I incorporated and formed a corporation. And by the way, the program can be taught either unto itself, the way I do it, as a minor track or an industrial technology shop program, or it can be included as a unit within a year science program. There's many ways this can be handled, depending on how your school administration wants to go with it. The name of the company is Media, M-E-D-I-A, Mentors, Inc., M-E-N-T-O-R-S. And this is my corporation formed with the express purpose of marketing amateur radio materials to other schools. The address where they can reach me is at Post Office Box 1646, Staten Island, New York, 10314, or they can call 718-983-1416. And again, I stress there is a hotline service that comes with the package so that the teacher doesn't have to feel she's just thrown out into the middle of the ocean by herself. She has the recourse of picking up that phone and getting the help from me.
Anything else you want to add?
Well, I would also like to say that there's a lot here in the way of overlapping curriculum. In other words, I use the radio to motivate the kids into other areas of the school's curriculum. Language arts skills, learning how to speak clearly and succinctly on the radio, geography skills, social studies, math and science is, of course, built into the program. But there's also foreign language skills, dealing with other countries and the languages that they may speak. Arts and crafts projects, we recently did a whole drama presentation from the Archie Ham Radio comic books from the League. And there were many arts and crafts projects and scenery designs and things like that, in fact, that are going to be shown on the new ARRL training film. The concept of meeting new people, meeting people all over the world, seeing what we have in common and seeing what the differences are as well. That's stressed in the program. And career skills also. Where could this hobby eventually lead you in the way of different careers? That gets pointed out all along the way also. Again, I always stress the advantage of the elderly working with the young. That's a combination that works every time for me, and that's human skills. That's communication skills, and that's making everybody feel good about the relationship. The retired ham leaves the room feeling good about himself because he was needed and appreciated, and the youngster had the experience of dealing with the experience and the expertise of somebody who's been through so many different aspects of the hobby.
This has been a two-part RP report with Carol Perry, WB2MGP, recipient of the Radio Amateur of the Year plaque awarded at the 1987 Dayton Hamvention in Dayton, Ohio. Editorial note, in the fall of 1961, I walked into the fifth grade class of Mr. Bill Weir at Lincoln Elementary School in Escondido, California. Little did I know that later that year, I'd be learning the Morse code in that class. And 4 years later, in 1965, I would become a radio amateur. Each of us has the opportunity to be an influence for good to those we come in contact with. All of us can remember a school teacher who did just that. Carol Perry is such an influence to hundreds of 6th, 7th, and 8th graders annually at Rockwell Laurie Intermediate School 72 in New York City. And before he retired from teaching, Mr. Bill Weir was a positive influence in the lives of thousands of fifth graders in Escondido, California. I was one of those. Thanks, Mr. Weir. P.S. My nieces enjoyed learning code in your class, too, just a couple years back. I'm Hap Holly, KC9RP in Chicago.
The Best of Rain is copyright 1990-2019 Rain. All rights are reserved. The Rain Report updates Saturdays on therainreport.com and on WTWW, shortwave out of Lebanon, Tennessee, on 5.085 MHz around 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. I'll be back next week to bring you another memorable gem from the Amateur Radio Information Network archive. I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, bidding you very 73 from the Rain Report. Keep on hamming.